So, before we go any further, we should say a few words about this song. This is a very prominent song in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, although it may be new for a lot of devotees in the West. It's common for Vaishnavas all over, especially in Bengal and Orissa. They sing this as a daily practice. And there's a very interesting history to this song. It's said that there was one person who made a terrible offense to Srivas Thakur. His name was Gopal Chappal. And because of that, he developed leprosy. And he later approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and fell at his feet and cried and asked him to please forgive him and help him in his situation. And Mahaprabhu told him that no one but Srivas Thakur can help you. So Gopal Chappal approached Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur told him that he should take shelter of Purushottam Das Thakur. Purushottam Das Thakur is one of the Dvadas Gopals, the principal associates of Lord Balaram in Krishna Leela. And in Gaura Leela, Purushottam Das Thakur is one of the principal associates of Lord Nityananda. So he did that, and Purushottam Thakur told him that because you've committed some Vaishnava aparad, you have to do something to make up for your offense. So he told him that he should travel around and he should compile a list of all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that he should write some song glorifying them. The song is called Vaishnava Vandana, and historians of Gaudiya Vaishnavism consider that song very significant because it's a very complete list of the associates of Mahaprabhu. Part of that song is called Vaishnava Sarana, which is what we just sang today. And it's described by many Vaishnavas that this Vaishnava Sarana, people recite this as a daily practice because this song is described to be both a preventative and an antidote for Vaishnava Aparad. This concept is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nihari in Chaitanya Bhagavat.
Sacha kohi toma sabare ke bala na janiya ninda jeva korila sanga jadi ninja karma kabuna achare nirantara vishnu vaishnava suti kore e sakala papa kuchi e se upaya koti prayas chiti o anyatanani aya.
Mahaprabhu told the devotees, "A satya, what I'm about to say is the truth." He says that if someone who's committed some Vaishnava aparad, if they stop criticizing others, and then they take up the habit of praising Krishna and praising the Vaishnavas, then all that person's sins and offenses will be destroyed. And Mahaprabhu says this is the right way to destroy them. He says that koti prayaschittiyo anyata nahiyai, that millions of prayaschittas, millions of other types of atonement, won't do any good. We should glorify the Vaishnavas. So this is a very nice song by Devaki Nandan Das, and every line has some deep purport to it. We won't get into describing so much of that, but he's glorifying the Vaishnavas first in Vrindavan, and then after that, in sequential order, he glorifies the Vaishnavas in Nilachal Jagannath Puri, and then he offers prayers to the devotees of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip Dham, and then to the devotees in Gaudadesh. And then he says a very interesting thing. He says, jay desi, baise, gaurangira gan. He offers obeisances to the devotees here at the manor. And all over England and all over the world, He says, Jai Desi, Jai Desi Baisi, wherever the devotees appear, whatever place. At the time when Devaki Nandan Das wrote this song, there was no Vaishnavism in America or in England or in Russia. Not until Srila Prabhupada came. But Devaki Nandan, he's offering respects to everyone, no matter where those devotees may appear. And he's doing it in a very emphatic way. He says, Urdhva Bahu Kori Vando, Sabaracharan. That Urdhva Bahu means with my arms in the air. I'm attracting attention, I'm making a public statement. Jai Desi, Jai Desi, Baisi, Gorangiragan, Urdhva Bahu Kori Vando, Sabaracharan. So then he says a very interesting thing in the next line. He says, Hoi Chena, Hoi Bena, Prabhujata Das. All the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that existed in the past, they're my Prabhu. And all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that will exist in the future. This is one meaning of this line. But according to the Bengali grammar, there's another meaning to it. Hoi Chena can also mean all the persons who used to be devotees. All those persons who came to Srila Prabhupada's society or the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement and joined and were performing devotional service, were initiated, chanting the holy names, but then later fell into Maya and went away. Devaki Nandan Das says, I offer my prayers to them because they're great personalities. They're not ordinary persons. So Hoi Chena, all those persons who used to be devotees, and Hoi Bena, he offers obeisances to all the people who aren't devotees yet, but will be devotees in the future. This is his bhakti nishtha, his firm devotion to the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's a very, very deep thing. And he says that Sabaracharana Vandon, Dante Korigas, with straw in my teeth, I'm offering obeisances to all these people who used to be devotees and all these people who will be devotees in the future. Why does he do like this? He says, Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. Because the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, each one of them, he says, has a potency to deliver a whole universe. And someone may say, well, that's a over-glorification. He says, no. Evede parana guna gai jivasuni. I am saying this on the basis of the Vedas and the Puranas. Our very spiritual master used to sometimes say that people sometimes say there's no pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada was the last one. And now there's no one left. We're very unfortunate. But he said, no, there are pure devotees present. And here's some proof. What is the proof? The proof is that the sun is shining, that this universe is going on, because without the presence of the Vaishnavas, this universe can't go on. This is described by Krishna to Arjuna in Padma Purana. Sansara Vaishnavadino Deva Vaishnava Palita Ahamcha Vaishnavadinas Tasmat Shrestas Cha Vaishnavaha. Krishna says, Sansara Vaishnavadino. This whole universe is dependent upon the presence of the Vaishnavas. If there were no pure devotees, this universe couldn't go on. Sansara Vaishnavad, you know, Deva Vaishnava Palitaha. The demigods are maintained by the Vaishnavas. They can't live without the presence of the Vaishnavas. Agni, Vayu, Indra, Surya, and others can't live. Can't maintain himself without the presence of the Vaishnavas. And Krishna tells Arjuna, what to speak of them? Aham cha Vaishnavadinas. I can't exist without the presence of the Vaishnavas. So the fact that so many devotees in this ISKCON society are chanting Hare Krishna, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, that's also proof. Some sadhus have to be there. Sometimes devotees say there's no sadhu present. But if the devotees are still chanting Hare Krishna after so many years, that's proof. Aham cha Vaishnavadinas. Krishna says, I can't exist. And Abhinatha Nama Namino, I'm not different from my name. The holy name is not going to be chanted. It can't be chanted unless the presence of the Vaishnavas are there also. Sadhu Sangha Krishna Nam E Matra Chai. Samsara Janikayai Konavashanai, is described in Prema Vivarta, that all that I want is association with the Vaishnavas and the chanting of the holy names, because these two things are in cause and effect. So he says that Mahaprabhu Gana Sabapatita Pavan Tai Lobi Mui Papi Loinisu. The associates of Mahaprabhu, I'm offering obeisances to them because they're Patit Pavan. They're very, very merciful. And they're always waiting for papis, great sinners like me, to surrender. They're always giving some opportunity to us. He says, now I know I'm doing these prayers. Vandana Korite Mui Katta Sakti Dari. I'm offering these prayers, but really honestly, I don't have the strength to do this. Sometimes we hear devotees glorifying the Vaishnavas, but sometimes it doesn't please the heart so much, because sometimes they just want to talk about what they did and how they were with this Vaishnava and how they did this thing and how they did that thing. And really it's a type of self-glorification. So Devaki Nandan Das is saying, this is me. He says, I know you're all going to be unhappy with me. Vandana Korite Mui Katta Sakti Dari. I don't have the potency, the Shakti, to be able to glorify these Vaishnavas. They're such great personalities. He said that Tumaburi Doshi Mui Dhamba Matra Kori. He said, it's just out of pride, out of dhamba, that I'm doing this thing. You're right. If anyone wants to criticize me, he says. But what can I do? Tatapi Mukhera Bhagya Manera Ulas. This is my Manera Ulas. This is my great happiness. I get such a pleasure by glorifying the Vaishnavas. Vivekananda says. So, Dosha Kami Moladami Koronija Das. Even though I'm a great hypocrite, Dosha Kami, you please forgive me for my offenses. Dosha Kami Moladami, I'm very fallen. Koronija Das, you please make me your servant. So we should pray to the Vaishnavas. We read this morning from Chaitanya Sikshamrita, where Thakur Bhaktivinoda is describing that there are eight different levels of respect that we should offer, beginning with Nara, Matvara, Maryada. We should offer respect to anyone who's a human being. And he said that we offer more respect to civilized persons, Sabyatara Maryada. And we offer more respect than that to Raja Maryada, or to someone who's a manager, someone who's a politician, a king. But more respect we give than that is to Vidya Maryada, someone who has education, knowledge. And more respect than that we offer to Sadguna Maryada, to those persons who have good qualities, especially Brahmins, Sannyasis, and Vaishnavas. And more than Sadguna Maryada, we offer to Varna Maryada, the Brahmins. And Brahmins means those persons who are engaged in the service of the Lord. And more respect to them, we offer to Ashram Maryada, which especially means the Sannyasis, those persons who have renounced everything and dedicated their life to the service of Guru and Krishna. But he says the most respect we offer is Bhakti Maryada. We offer respect to the devotees. So, as we describe in his song, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he says there, that deho natta jata jata, that we should learn to offer respect according to a person's position. That's a cultured person. And this is very pleasing to Guru and Krishna. Srila Sanatan Goswami is a compiler of Hari Bhakti Vilas. And he's considered to be the embodiment of Veda Maryada. That same Sanatan Goswami was staying in Jagannath Puri, and because he had served as the prime minister for the Nawab Hussein Shah when he was serving in Ramakeli, Sanatan Goswami felt himself very fallen. Although he came from a very aristocratic Brahmin family and was so learned in Shastra and was a very exalted Vaishnava and associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he felt himself unqualified to go inside the Jagannath temple or to go into the cart of Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra festival. He wouldn't do that thing. He felt himself to be so fallen that on one occasion when he was coming to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he chose to go on the path by the beach. And if you've been to Jagannath Puri in the summertime when it's 45 degrees, that sand becomes very, very hot. And Sanatana Goswami was walking barefoot. and his feet were blistering in the sand. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw him, he said, "What are you doing? Why you didn't come by the other path?" And Sanatana Goswami told him, he said, "Well, if I would have gone by the other path, there is some danger there. I might have stepped on the shadow of one of Lord Jagannath's priests, one of his pandas. And that way I might have done some offense. So better I come this way." So what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? What did he say at that time? Did he adopt the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev and run to the temple and say, "I'm going to kill all the pandas if you don't allow my Sanatana Goswami inside the temple"? He didn't do that. Rather, he embraced Sanatana Goswami. And he told Sanatana Goswami the following.
Yajapi otumi ha jagata pavan Toma sparshe pavitra hoi deva munigan Tatapi bhakta svabhav maryada rakshana Maryada palana hoi sadhurushana.
Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, "The Tumihau Jagat Pavan, there's no question of you contaminating the priests in the Jagannath temple. You're so pure that you can purify the whole universe. Tumi Jagat Pavan. Tomar Sparshi Pavitra Hoy Devi Munagan." He says that just Tomar Sparshi, just by touching you, the devas and the munis, the rishis, they become purified. But he says, "Tatapi bhakta swabhav," I can understand why you're behaving like this. This is the nature of a devotee. This is bhakta swabhav. That they're maryada rakshana. The devotee's nature is he naturally wants to protect Veda maryada, Vedic etiquette. Because a devotee is a cultured person. And he told him, "Maryada palana hoy sadar bhushana." This maintenance of Vedic Vaishnav etiquette, this is the ornament of a devotee.
Maryada langane loka kore upahas Iha loka para loka dui hoi nas.
He says if someone goes against these laws of etiquette, against Maryada, then people just make fun of him and he becomes vanquished in this world and in the next. So this is preaching. Preaching doesn't just mean how many books that we sell. It doesn't just mean how much money that we collect or how many people we get to come to the temple. But preaching means that we're representing our Gurujanas. And we should behave in such a way that they'll be proud. Not that we go and we have such bad etiquette that people laugh at us. We were talking early today. We have one god brother who was in Australia, and one senior politician, important politician, came to visit the farm there. And this devotee thought he should go and preach to her. So he told her, "Oh, you're a lady and a politician." He said, "You know what Chanakya Pandit says about this?" And he quoted one verse that you might be familiar with. And it was rude. It was a very improper way to behave toward a guest like it. It was very disrespectful. Chanakya Pandit says that one should never trust a politician or a woman, for those of you who don't know their verse. So he told her like that. And it didn't go over very big. I don't think she ever visited the devotees again after that. So we should have this proper etiquette. We want to touch people's hearts. We want to preach to people. But if we don't have respect for them, why will they listen to us? No one is going to listen to us if we don't have respect for them. This respect is a basis of our society. It's a basis of our own personal bhajan. It's a basis of our personal relationships with other devotees, with our wives, our husbands, our children. Even your children, if you have no respect for them, if you have no respect for someone, how can you have love? If you have no love for your children, how can you chastise them? So this respect is such an important thing. It's described by Chanakya Pandit, "Indriya jayasya mulam vinaya." That, do you want to control your senses? He says the root of sense control is humility. This is the essence of controlling your senses, is to be humble. So how do you develop humility? Chanakya Pandit says, Vinayasya mulam brido paseva. Service and respect to superiors is a root of humility. How do we render that service? Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes this in Chaitanya Sikshamrita in the second Barsha. He says there are three types of service to elders. Protection of parents, protection of teachers, and protection of other elders. One must follow the instructions of parents and serve them as much as is possible. A person should serve those who have protected him as a helpless child. He should also service those who have given knowledge, especially those who have given spiritual knowledge and mantra. Those are considered superior who are bigger in body, greater in age, or more experienced in knowledge. One must respect and serve them all. One cannot follow incorrect orders of a superior, but one should not show hostility towards him using disrespectful or harsh words. One should put a stop to their improper behavior or instructions by using sweet words, humility, and gentle reasoning at the proper time. This observance of proper respect is the ornament of a devotee. And everyone becomes very, very pleased and very, very happy. Everyone. Even the non-devotees, when they see how nice and gentle the devotees are. And this is a way that we can preach to people. It's described in Padma Purana that Ashradhani Vimukhe Prashindati Yashchopadesha Sivanama Paradha. It's considered to be an offense to the holy name to preach to someone who doesn't have faith in you. You can't preach to them. How many times have we had experience? Someone, some new devotee wanting to come to us and preach to us about something. And if you don't have faith in that young devotee, simply we become annoyed. Why are you explaining so many things to me? You're just a new bhakta. Go away. It's not your position to say like that. So that type of preaching doesn't have any effect if the person we're speaking to doesn't have faith in us. So what do we do if someone doesn't have faith? A Vaishnava is so merciful, paraduka duki, kripambuddhi, is an ocean of mercy. He's a savior of the fallen. The devotees naturally want to help everyone. So how can we preach to someone who doesn't have faith in us? Srila Prabhupada set a very wonderful example of this. What we do, we can show respect to those persons. We can act in such a way that they develop faith in us. You can't speak to them. You can't preach to them about a Christian because they don't have faith. It's an offense. But you can act in such a way, you can show them some affection and some respect. And by doing that, then they'll develop the ability to listen to you. When Srila Prabhupada first went to South Africa, the only time he went to South Africa, the devotees had rented a house. And the person who owned the house, a lady, was living right next door to them. And she was a very angry kind of person. And she was always complaining to the devotees and chastising them with very harsh language. Why are you making so much noise? And you guys are so weird. And the devotees, I think they had hats on and Western clothes, and they rented the house from her. And very quickly she saw this is a very strange thing. So when Srila Prabhupada came, the devotees were quite frightened that what is going to happen when Prabhupada comes out of the house and this woman sees Prabhupada. Maybe she's going to commit some offense to Srila Prabhupada. So that morning, Prabhupada arrived in the afternoon, and the next morning, Prabhupada went for a morning walk. And when he came out of the house, sure enough, there was that woman next door in her yard watering the plants. And the devotees were nervous. And she saw Srila Prabhupada, and somehow Srila Prabhupada started speaking with her. And Prabhupada started immediately asking her, oh, what kind of plants are you growing? Oh, this is very nice. And then every day, Srila Prabhupada, when he was going out for his morning walk, he would see this woman, he would stop and talk with her. And he would talk to her about her teeth and her stomach and digestion and the weather and all these mundane things. And that lady loved Srila Prabhupada. She had so much appreciation for him. Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example of a preacher. is very, very mature. You can understand that woman didn't have faith. You couldn't preach to her. So he acted in such a way that that woman developed affection and appreciation for him. So I don't know if she ever became a devotee, but we're sure that if anybody would say something about the Hare Krishnas, she must have had something good to say. Or maybe all those Hare Krishnas are nonsense, but I met the founder of the, and he was very, very nice. Huh? So you can say, and that's preaching. That she's doing some service to the devotees like that. So we should offer respect to everyone. Vinayasya mulam bridavaseva. Service and respect to superiors is a root of our humility. And what happens if we offer service and respect to our superiors? Bridha sevaya vijnanam. By rendering service to one's elders, we gain wisdom. That's a very important thing. Devotees offer respect to everyone. We also offer respect to our parents. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta described this in a number of places. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he described in one lecture. He said that all of you please perceive everything of this world as ingredients for serving Krishna. Everything of this world is actually meant for Krishna's service. Please see the entire race of women as beloved consorts of Krishna, and help always to engage them in the service of Krishna. Please don't consider them as objects of your sense enjoyment. They are to be enjoyed by Krishna. They are never to be enjoyed by the living entities. He said, please do not see your fathers and mothers as a means to your own sense gratification, but see them as Krishna's fathers and mothers. Please do not see your sons as a means to your own sense gratification, but see them as belonging to the group of devotees of Bala Gopal. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur encouraged the devotees. Mahaprabhu says, Amani Namanadena, we should be respectful to everyone. So that certainly includes our parents. They gave birth to us. They may not be vegetarian, they may not be devotees, but they're your mother and father. What kind of cultured person is it who won't respect their parents? It's a great offense. In our shastras, there are many, many glorifications. In our Vaishnava literatures, the glories of one's mother. We've collected some of these statements. The Brahmavarta Purana describes, Matar ityeva sabdena yamcha sambhasate nara samatrituya satyena dharma sakshi satamapi. This is Brahmavarta Purana, first canto, chapter 10, text 50. Don't think it's a slur or a slight to call someone Mataji. It's not a small thing. When you call a lady Mataji, the Brahmavarta Purana describes, if someone addresses someone as Mataji, it says, then Dharma personified witnesses that statement. And in truth, that lady becomes the same as that person's mother. Narada Pancharatra, second chapter, 6th and 7th verses, describes, Ado samuchared radham paschat krishnam chamadavam viparitam yadipatit brahma hatyam labedruvam. We don't say Jai Shri Shri Gokulananda Radha. There's a reason for that. We say Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda. He says, first one should utter the name Radha, and then one should utter the name of Krishna or Madhav. If one utters the reverse, one gets the result of killing a Brahmin. Shri Krishna Jagatam Tato Jaganmata Charadika Pitu Sadgunamumata Vandya Puja Gariyasi. Krishna is the father of the world, and Radharani is the mother. The mother is 100 times more worshipable and higher in point of respect due than the father. So it's not a small thing to call someone Mataji. Sometimes, it's sadly, in our society today, it seems like kind of a slur. In the Sunday feast, we say, okay, all the Prabhus sit over here, and the Matajis sit over here. Like they're second-class citizens or something like that. But we should understand what it means in our Vaishnava literature, in our Vedic system. When you call someone mother, that mother is the most worshipable person in this universe. This is described in many places. Mahabharat, Anusasana Parva, chapter 105, text 15 to 16 describes, Dasa chaiva pitin mata sarvam va pitivim api goravena abhivadati nasti mati samo guru mata gariyasi yachcha tenaitam manyate jana. Your mother, one's mother, is equal to 10 fathers, or even to the whole earth. There is no senior person equal to the mother. Indeed, she is above all others in terms of the reverence and respect due to her. It is for this reason that people offer so much respect to their mother. The next chapter of Mahabharata, text 65, describes, Nasti veda param shastram nasti matur samo guru na dharma paramo labhas tapo nanasanat param. There's no shastra superior to the Vedas. There's no guru equal to one's mother. There's no acquisition superior to that of virtue. And there's no penance superior to fasting. Some of the Narada Purana, first canto, chapter 14, text 18 describes, Sujanto patitan bandan dandyan uttama sahasam pitahi patita kaman natu mata kadachana. If you reject one of your kinsmen, someone in your family, you should be punished. And such a person should be fined. Because you can't reject your family members. It's a very bad thing. And Nardiya Purana describes, Pitahi patita kama. Your father may be considered fallen, but natu mata kadachana. The mother is never considered to be fallen in any situation. So then, what do we do if the mother is fallen? It's described in by Chanakya Pandit. Prabhupada used to quote some of these verses. Rinikarta pitir shastra mata cha vyabicharani bharya rupavati shastra putra shatra apandita. So there are four kinds of enemies in family life. A father who's in debt, a mother who's unfaithful to her husband, a wife who is very beautiful, and a son who's an ignorant fool. Mata yasya grihe nasti bharya cha priyavandini aranyam tena gantavyam yataranyam tata griham. Chanakya Pandit says that if you don't have an affectionate mother at home, or if your wife doesn't speak sweetly and lovingly, then you should take sannyas. You should go to the forest. Because the home is already a desolate place. So that's the purpose of ladies. They serve a very wonderful purpose in this life. They nourish our society with their sweet words. But if the mother and your wife just have very harsh things to say, then better you should just go to the forest, because your family life has already become like a forest. So we should offer respect to our mother. But Srila Narahari Chakravarti, Chaitanya Mangal, Lochandas Thakur, he's described in Chaitanya Mangal, a very interesting verse. He says, Yasyasti Vaishnava Putra Putrini Sa Vidiyate Vaishnava Sutta Putra Janani Sukarisama. We offer respect to any of our mothers. But at the same time, it's not just that that's the goal of our life, is to offer respect to our mundane father and mother. Lochandas Thakur says that that mother who has a son who's a pure devotee, she's a real mother. And he says, even though a woman may have 100 sons, she would probably be very tired. She had 100 sons, but none of those sons are devotee. Then Lochandas Thakur, he says that Sukari Sama, she's no better than a lady pig. So Lochandas Thakur raises a question.
Nari Purusha Ara Keva Karapati Sri Krishna Charana Binu Aranahi Nagati.
He says, who's really one's husband? Who's really one's wife? There's no shelter but the lotus feet of Krishna.
Sei pita, sei mata, sei bandhu jana. Sei harta, sei karta, sei mata dana.
Sei pita, sei mata, sei bandhu jana. Sei karta, sei harta, sei mata dana. Krishna is our only father. Krishna is our mother. He's our friend. He's the only destroyer. He's the doer. He's the karta. He's our only real wealth.
Sei se parama bandhu se mata pita Sri Krishna charani jai prema bhakti tata.
And that person who gives you prema bhakti at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, that person is your supreme friend, mother, and father. This same point is made by the Bengali poet Sanatan Das in his Guru Vandana song.
Guru Mata, Guru Pita, Guru Hanapati, Guru Bina e Sansari, Nahi Hanapati.
But your Gurudev, he's your father, he's your mother, he's your Lord and Master. Guru Bina e Sansari, Nahi Aragati. Without the mercy of your Gurudev, there's no question of being able to cross over this ocean of material existence. So we offer respect to our father and our mother. But Lochan Das Thakur, he describes,
Sakala janami pita mata sabe pai Guru Krishna nahi mile bujihani hai.
In every birth, we get a mother and a father. For Brahmande Brahmante Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Beach. It's a very, very rare thing for us to get Guru and Krishna. So our Gurudev is our father. Krishna describes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Diksha Kore Bhakti Sama, that someone who's initiated, I consider them to be non-different from myself. When someone has initiation, Krishna considers that devotee to be just as good as himself. Because that person is chanting Krishna mantra. Therefore, that devotee who's gotten mantra from Guru, he's known as Dvija. Dvija means Dvi Janma, that he's taken birth twice. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this secret for our bhajan. Trinadapi sunichena taroreva sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadaharihi. He describes that we should not demand any respect for ourselves. Rather, we should give all respect to others. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, in his commentary on this verse, he says that this verse describes four symptoms of nirapad bhajan. After one is free from offenses in their bhajan, they come to the platform of Trinadapi Sunichena, Toro Eva Sahishnana, Amanina, and Manadena. He says that Trinadapi Sunichena means Vishayi Virakti Janita Dainyam. It means you should be humble, but it means humility that's born out of complete detachment from material sense enjoyment. It's not an artificial show or an artificial imposition. But when one is completely free from the desire to enjoy in this material world, that's real humility. Vishayi virakti janata dainyam. That's Trinadapi sunichina. And then matsarata lankrita doya. What is Trinadapi sahishnana? What is this doya, this compassion? It's nirmatsarata lankrita doya. It's pure compassion that's completely devoid of any envy. Sometimes we may show some compassion on someone. A rich person may give some money to feed the poor people. But actually he's envious of that person. Actually he's envious of those persons. He considers them to be low class and that he's doing them some favor. And what is a manina? He says it's mithyabhimana sunyata. Mithyabhimana sunyata. Purity of heart that's freed from materialistic false prestige. There's no false consideration. There's no false conception of oneself. At that time, one can have a proper ego. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes, Sarvesham yata yogya samanana chaitani lakshanani. Manadena means that someone has an attitude of respect toward everyone in accordance with their respective position. He offers respect to everyone, but he offers it according to their particular position. So this verse is such an important verse. Tanadapi sanichina turayeva sahishrana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari urdva bahu korid kahon sunasarvalok. With his arms in the air, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Suno Sarvalok, all of you please listen. Nama Shuche Ganti Parakanti Shlok. Please keep this verse as a necklace around your neck. Keep it at all times with you. This is our standard of behavior. This is how we can progress in bhajan. So we were speaking this morning something about how respect is the glue which binds together any society. Every society has to have some system of respect. Otherwise, people won't pay their taxes. They won't obey the police officers. They won't listen to the teachers. They won't go to school. There has to be some system of respect in every society. So we were speaking about how that respect that we offer is based upon our self-identification. And for the non-devotees, for those persons who are in the mood of aham mama bhav, they may offer respect, but their respect is really a way to try to exploit other people. And we give a few examples of the mercantile persons. They offer great respect to the people who come to their shop, or the politicians, or sometimes teachers. They want you to come to their school and accept them as a teacher, so they're very flattering to you, and they speak nice words like that. So they're offering that respect. But really, they're offering respect out of a motivation to exploit you. So it's not genuine respect. It's really a disservice. It's really a type of violence. So it's only the devotees who are free from hankering for fame and adoration who can actually really offer genuine respect to others. Dambu dharapo vimanascha kodaparushami vacha agyanam chavijatasya parthasampadam asura. Krishna tells Arjuna, in the 16th chapter of the Gita, he says, this is the qualities of an asura, of a demoniac person. They're very, very proud, and they're very, very harsh in their dealings. Vaishnavas, by nature, are not proud. They're very humble, and they see good in others. Amanina manadena. They very genuinely see good in others, and they genuinely don't see anything good in themselves. There's a nice example of this. It's described that on one occasion, Dronacharya, he called for Yudhisthira. And he said, so Yudhisthira, for so long I've been teaching you. You've been in my ashram. So now I want some bakshish, some guru dakshina. And Yudhisthira said, yes, Gurudev, what can I do? He said, I want you to go and search around the world and bring back at least one person who's more fallen than you. And Yudhisthira said, yes, Gurudev. So he set out to do that. Then Dronacharya, he called for Duryodhan. And he said the same thing. Duryodhan, I've been teaching you so long. Now has come the time I want some bhakshi, some donation from you. Yes, Guru Maharaj, what do you want? I want you to go out and I want you just to find one person. You can go all over the world and look, but I want you to find one person who's better than you. Yes, Guru Maharaj. They were both gone for a long time. Finally, Yudhisthira returned. And he was holding his head down. And Dronacharya asked him, so? And Yudhisthira said, Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry. I searched all over the world, but really I couldn't find anyone who was lower than myself. I'm very sorry, I failed. So at the same time, Duryodhan suddenly returned. And Duryodhan was looking very unhappy. And Duryodhan said, Guru Maharaj, you gave me a very difficult task. He said, you know what? I went all over the world. I was looking, trying to find just one person who was better than me. I couldn't find anyone. It was very, very difficult. So then Dronacharya, he told Yudhisthira, he said, Yudhisthira, and he turned to Duryodhan, he said, Duryodhan, your search is over. Here's someone who's better than you. And he pointed to Yudhisthira. And he told Yudhisthira, he said, Yudhisthira, your search is also over. Here's someone more fallen than you. And he pointed to Duryodhan. So this humility is the essence of our spiritual life. Srila Sanatana Goswami, he describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita the importance of humility. Yena sa dharana sakta dhamma buddhi sadatmani sarva karashandite pi sadbuddhaista dhanyam ishyate. He said that even if someone's very, very exalted, they should be humble and think themselves very incompetent and lowly. And he instructs us that we should cultivate humility in three ways. Yaya vachaya dainyam matya cha staryam eti tat tam yatnena bhajit vidvams tad virudhani varjayat. Someone who's wise, who's buddhi, he cultivates humility in three ways, with his body, with his words, and with his mind. We can cultivate humility with our body by rendering service to our parents, by carrying the groceries for them, by helping someone, an elderly person who can't walk nicely, by helping them to walk up the stairs, by giving them a chair. We can do these things with our body. We can come and do some service to the deities. We can mow the lawn. We can collect flowers. We can come and offer our obeisances to the deity and to the Vaishnavas. By doing these things with our body, it may not be genuine, but if we do this with our body, we can cultivate humility in this way with our body. We can cultivate humility with our words by speaking sweetly and gently to different people. Once I was checking into a hotel and I saw the person in front of me at the line there was abusing the lady, very harsh language, shouting at her and calling her all kinds of terrible names and things. And this poor woman was shaking. She was so disturbed, and she was trying her best to take care of this man. Yes, sir. No, sir. Oh, yeah, we'll try our best, sir. I'm very sorry, sir. And he's just shouting. He's an idiot. And then finally he stormed off, and that poor woman was like this. And then I went up, and I wanted to preach to her something. But how can you preach to someone in a situation like that? So I just told her, I said, you know, I just want to tell you something. I was watching the exchange you had with this man. I just want to tell you, the way you did that was so expert. You were so good. That man was so unreasonable and so harsh, and you were so tolerant with him, so good. And when I spoke like that to her in a little sweet, gentle way, she became so happy and relieved. So we can serve people with sweet words. And especially we want to serve the Vaishnavas with sweet words. Especially want to serve the general populace by preaching and repeating what we've heard from Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Janas. We want to repeat the words of Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and quote Shastra, recite the Vedic literatures. By doing that, we can cultivate humility with our words. And we can cultivate humility in our mind. Whenever we look at other people, we should always be looking to see good things in them. If we look for good qualities in other people, we'll always feel happy. If we see bad things in them, then we'll always naturally be depressed. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says the nature of a Vaishnava is that he's adosha darshi. A Vaishnava is one who doesn't see fault in others. Sometimes people say, but Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he would chastise the devotees like anything. Srila Prabhupada had a very special position. It's the duty of guru to chastise others. But we should give up that attitude that I'm Guru. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sings a Guru Abhimana Tyagi. If I want to advance in my spiritual life, he says, I'm going to give up the attitude that I'm Guru. I'm not going to chastise other people. That's the business of Guru. The Guru's business is to see for everybody's fault and all the faults there are and to chastise the devotees. And he has the right to do that. He has a qualification to do that because he sees a difference between that person and the fault that's covering that person. We don't see that difference. We say, oh, he's a bad person. He did this thing. He's very bad. But even Jesus in the Bible, he says that we should hate the sin, but not the sinner. So the qualification of guru and authority is that they can differentiate between a person and the person's faults. That's the qualification of someone who has the right to chastise. And such a person is our Guru Jana. There's different types of Guru Janas. The Krama Purana describes Upadhyaya Pita Jesta Bratta Chaiva Mahi Pati Matula Swasasasrata Matamaha Pitamaho Bandar Jesta Pitibhyascha Pumsyete Gurva Smitaha. Anyone who instructs you in the Vedas, that person is your guru. Your father, your elder brother, a king, your maternal uncle, your father-in-law, anyone who protects you, your maternal grandparents, your paternal grandparents, your relatives, and everyone who's elderly, every elderly person, all of these are considered our gurus. But we offer respect to them in a gradation way. It's described janmado vididaschaiva pranado gyanadastata guru bhavati dharmena shrestha shriyatarotaraha. Someone who's given you birth, that's one of your gurus. Someone who's made arrangement for your livelihood, and someone who's given you life, or someone who's given you knowledge, all these are considered to be dharmata gurus. And they've been mentioned in successive order of importance. Anyone who's malicious or critical of any of these persons, they're known as Guru Drohi, or an offender, an attacker to their guru. So such a person who criticizes these persons, they're considered to be fallen and atheistic. We should always offer them respect. And this morning we mentioned how even Draupadi, when Ashwatthama was brought before her, after Ashwatthama killed her 5 children, and the Pandavas, some of them wanted to kill Ashwatthama. Krishna was recommending that, and Bhima was all for it. Arjuna had some doubts, and Yudhishthira was very gentle. So they asked Draupadi, "They're your sons. What do you say?" Her 5 sons had just been killed in a very heinous way by Ashwatthama. Draupadi said, "No. He's the son of our guru. And he's a Brahmin." Actually, she said he's a Brahma Bandhu. He's not really a Brahmin because he's not acting as a Brahmin. He's fallen. But still, he's born in a family of Brahmins. And he's a son of our Gurudev. We shouldn't disrespect him. Draupadi is a cultured person. So this pride is the source of all trouble in this world. We should develop this humility. Sanatana Goswami, he describes further, Dainyam tu paramam premna paripakena janyate tasam gokula narinam eva krishna vyogata. Real humility, deep humility, comes from advancement and love for Krishna. It comes when one develops Krishna Prem. And he gives the example of the gopis in Braj when they were feeling separation from Krishna. That's real humility. And he says, Paripakena dainyasya prema jashram vitanyate parasparam tayoritam karya karnatekshate. He says that mature humility, brings love for Krishna. He said, it's seen that these two things, Krishna Prem and Dainya, or humility, these two things are seen in a relationship of cause and effect. So we should cultivate this humility. Tanadapi sanichina, tadoreva sahisina, amanina manadina, kirtaniya sadahari. If we do like this, then kirtaniya sadahari will always be able to chant the holy names. Tavita gaivo, harinama suke. If we quit criticizing others, aparabhati hata, we become free from offenses, then we can really chant the holy name of Krishna. And on the other side of things, this pride is a great stumbling block in spiritual life. The Narada Purana describes, ahankaro mahanjagye masuyo lobahetuka. Pride is a source of destruction of all wealth. It's a source of false ego, this pride. And it's the source of all types of failure. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, for this reason, as we were reading this morning, he says that we should offer respect to the devatas. He said, if we don't offer respect to the devatas, then we'll become proud and our humility will go away. We offer respect to them because we want to show the common people, we want to help them. The common people don't appreciate Krishna. But we can show them at least they should behave in a proper way. And if they offer respect to the devatas, then they can gradually make some kind of advancement. So this pride is a source of destruction of one's good qualities. There's an interesting story in the 41st chapter of the Karna Parva, the Mahabharata, which illustrates this subject matter very nicely. Salya, he made a promise to Yudhisthira that I'll help you. He said, sooner or later, definitely they're going to ask me to be the chariot driver for Karna. He said, next to me, there's only one chariot driver in the whole world who might be better, and that's Krishna. So definitely they'll ask me to be Karna's chariot driver. So when they ask me at that time, I'll speak in such a way to break Karna's spirit. At least I can do that much for you. So when he became Karna's chariot driver, Salya told him an interesting story about the crow and the swan. We printed this in our Krishna Katamrita Bindu magazine. We called this story the Flight of the Crow. That once there was a crow who was living in South India near the ocean. And in that part of South India, there was a very good and pious king. And there was one Vaishya who was living there, who was a very wealthy man. He had a very beautiful home and a number of children. And that crow used to go to the house of that Vaishya every day. And the children would give that crow very nice cream and sweet rice and different nice foodstuffs. And that crow was getting big and fat and proud. He began to think, there's no bird better than me. I'm Pucky Raj. I'm the king, the best of all the puckies, of all the birds. He was such a proud fool. Because pride leads to offense. When we have some pride, we can't offer proper respect to superior persons. So one day, as this crow was there by the house of this rich man, a group of Raja Hamsa swans came flying by. Their wingspan was like the length of our arms. Very big, beautiful birds. And that crow, when he saw them, he became envious. Why is everyone glorifying these swans? Who do these swans think they are? So that crow flew up in the air and he made a challenge to those swans. He said, hey, who do you think you are? You think that you're such great birds. I challenge you to a competition of flight. And whoever can fly the best will understand that they're the best of the birds. So the Raja Hamsa swans, they were looking at this little insignificant crow. And they were very amused. Anyway, the crow said, no, I can fly in so many different ways. And all the other, his brother crows, all quickly came to that place. And he said, just see. And that crow flew up in the air and he started spinning like this. And all his brother crows are going, ka, 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 ka. Just see our brother. He's the best of all the birds. And he's flying upside down, going up and going down this way and that way. And the Raja Hansa swans were watching this insolent display. And they were just amused. They said, anyway, you can fly so many different ways. We only know one way of flying, the ordinary way. And then they started flying a little stronger. And that crow said, oh, you think you're so fast, I can go faster than you. And the crow started following them. And then the swans started flying out over the ocean. And the crow was flying after them. And after some distance, because these swans can fly for hundreds and hundreds of miles without stopping, after some distance, the crow started getting nervous. He couldn't see the land anymore. In all directions, all that he could see was water. And he started getting tired. He'd never flown so far out over the ocean before. And he started getting weak, and he couldn't fly so high. And he started dragging near the water, and then he started becoming very frightened. Because he'd always heard that there were sharks and different ferocious animals in the water that are there to eat any birds which will fly close to the water. So he didn't know what to do. That poor crow was exhausted and was falling into the water. So in that situation, he began to cry out to those swans. Oh, my dear brother swans, please forgive me. Dosha kami moha dhami koroni jidas. Please forgive me for my offenses. You please help me. Then the swans, they laughed and they said, our dear brother crow, where are all your proud words now? You were telling us that you were the best of flyers and this and that. Now what's happening now? Now you're going for a swim? What's happening? And that crow said, oh, please forgive me. Please help me. If you don't help me, then I'm going to die. I'm going to drown here. So the swans very kindly stopped and they turned back and they picked up that crow and placed him on his back. And the swan flew back to the land. And that poor crow was all wet and exhausted and near to death and very, very humbled. And that swan let that crow down. So then Salya, he turned to Karna and he said, you are just like that crow. You're coming from such a low position. But now you're eating the fancy foods of Duryodhan and Dhritarashtra. And you think that you're the equal to the Pandavas. This is also a lesson here for the devotees. We come from a very fallen background. In this Kali Yuga, Kalo Sudhu Sambhava, everyone basically is coming from a fallen background. But these Raja Hansas, these Paramahansa, Vaishnavas, Sri Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, they've come to pick us up. But if we start eating the nice Krishna prasad, and if we start eating the words of praise from other Vaishnavas and people, and we start thinking, yes, I'm just as good as Guru. I'm just as good as those Paramahansas. I can wear their shoes. I can also be like that. In Bengali, there are two things. There's anukor and anusar. Anukor means to imitate. And imitation is always forbidden. Imitation of a great personality leads to destruction. We want to be anusar. Anusar means that we follow the essence of their teachings. We don't try to dress like Gurudev. We don't try to imitate Guru. We don't try to take the position of Guru for ourselves. We just be what we are. We just be very simple and humble and natural. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Patit Pavan, will definitely deliver us. But our Guru Maharaj used to say that he's not Kapatya Pavan. He doesn't deliver those persons who are crooked and duplicitous. So if we try to imitate those Raja Hansas, those Paramahansas, if we forget the color of our feathers, if we forget our fallen background and position, and in our foolishness try to imitate them and try to cross over this ocean of material existence on our own strength, then what will happen? Like that crow, we'll also fall into the water of material existence. And in such a situation, what can we do? Patista rajubirbadham kamadyarvatmapati bihi chitvatu sangarantastam agare pantumam bataha. In his Brajlila Stava, Raghunath Das Goswami begins with this very nice verse. He says that I am on the road to bhakti. Just like for those of you who have been to Vrindavan, you may go on the Chatikar road to go to Radhakund from Vrindavan. And if you go on that Chatikar road, especially after dark, and you're a Western devotee, you may find some nice person standing in the middle of the road to stop you. And you might think, oh, he heard my Bhagavatam class this morning and he wants to give me some some praise. But you're in big trouble, huh? Because there's dacoits on that road, huh? And they've come to rob you. So Raghunath Das Goswami says, in a similar way, I'm on the road to bhakti. And I'm making some progress, but suddenly some highway robbers have come. And they tied me up with ropes. What are those ropes? Patista rajubir badham. That rope that they're using is false prestige. Some fame and claim. Don't you know who I am? I'm a big devotee. I'm a big person. Patista rajubir badham kamadyarvatmapati bihi. And those highway robbers are lust, anger, greed, illusion. They've stopped and they've bound us up with ropes. So in such a circumstance, what can we do? Chitvatu samarandastan. We have to have someone come and cut those ropes. Someone may come and pat you on the back and say, it's okay, don't feel so bad. But it doesn't do any good. My ropes are still binding me up. I'm still bound up. I still can't make progress. I don't need some sweet language and sweet words. I need some help in this situation. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he says that chitpatu sangarandastam agare pandumambataha. In such a situation, he says we should call out to the devotees of the killer of the Aga demon, that they may come and with their harsh words, they may cut those ropes. That's the meaning of sadhu. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says in one lecture, there is no doubt that the words of the sadhus possess the power of destroying the evil propensities of one's mind. Our false pride, we're like that crow in the story. The only way for us to be relieved of this burden of false pride is by the words of the sadhus. They possess the power of destroying the evil propensities of one's mind. The sadhus in this way benefit everyone who associates with them. There are many things which we do not disclose to the sadhu. The real sadhu makes us speak out what we keep concealed in our hearts. He then applies the knife. The very word sadhu has no other meaning than this. He stands in front of the block with the uplifted sacrificial knife in his hand. The sensuous desires of men are like the goats. The sadhu stands there to kill those desires by the merciful stroke of the keen edge of the sacrificial knife in the form of unpleasant language. He says, if the sadhu turns into my flatterer, then he does me harm. He becomes my enemy. So we should be willing and happy to receive the harsh chastisement of sadhu and not think that I'm such a big person. There's no one equal to me. Don't you know who I am? I'm a great devotee. I am in charge of Gopalji Publications. I'm a disciple of Gorgavinda Maharaj. I'm from India. I'm this, I'm that. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, he sings a very nice song. Hari he gari tachare rohila mamboji la kori nusam sam.
loy sadu vesha ani upadeshi evoro mayaranga loy sadu vesha ani upadeshi evoro mayaranga hari he garita chai rohi lama moji nakori sadu sam. He says, what is my position? Garita Achari. I'm very, very fond. I'm addicted to all the worst type of behavior. Garita Achari. Rohi Lama Maji. Nakarinu Sadhu Sangha. I've never really done Sadhu Sangha. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Jiri Gaya. My Sadhu Sangha is like the person who goes to Disney World and stands next to a life-size photograph of Michael Jackson. I have a picture of me with Gurudev and me with the sadhu. Nakori no sadhu sangha. I've not really done sadhu sangha. But what have I done instead? Loi sadhu vesh. I've dressed myself up like a sadhu. Ani upadesh. I'm sitting here at Bhaktivedanta Manor and giving class, giving instructions to everybody, dressed up like a sadhu. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, E boro mayararanga. This is Maya's big joke. This should be our attitude. We shouldn't think that we're devotees, that we're qualified persons. If we think like that, then sarvanas, everything will be finished. Like that crow, we'll drown in the ocean of material existence. So if we find ourselves in that situation, and as Raghunath Das Goswami instructs, we should take shelter of those sadhus. We should cry to them for them to help. And they can save us from that situation. So we'll stop there. Are there any comments or questions, maybe, Prabhuji? So how do we accept this? Prabhupada also quoted Chanakya Pandit. I found an interesting thing personally in my own reading about Chanakya Pandit. I found that all the things he's written, he didn't write. They're all verses from Mahabharata and Naradiya Purana and Padma Purana and different places. They're from Vedic literatures. And we have to understand them in proper context. Prabhupada quoted Chanakya Pandit also. Prabhuji? So we have to cultivate this understanding. We should read these Vedic literatures. We should be able to accommodate both statements and understand how both statements are correct. How we should never disrespect our mother, and the mother is never considered to be fallen. But at the same time, for our spiritual life, we have to make some distinctions sometimes. It still means we may offer respect. Just Krishna says in the Gita, for example, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mamananyabhak sadureva samantavya samyagi vasito isaha. Someone may not be following the principles properly, but if they're doing ananyata bhajan, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur defines as they're only worshipping Krishna, they're not taking shelter of karma, jnana, devata worship, like that, then they're considered to be doing ananyata bhajan. But they're breaking regulated principles, they're fallen in one sense. But Krishna says, sadhur eva samantavya. They're a sadhu. because they're doing Anandita Bhajan. But they're a Durachari sadhu, and we don't hear from them. I offer respect to my mother. She's not a vegetarian. She's my mother. I have to love her and respect her. But I'm not going to go to her and say, Mom, please give me a lecture in Bhagavad Gita. Please tell me what is the goal of life. That's improper respect. We should give respect to our mother, but we should give more respect to our guru. Our mother, if our mother's a devotee, she's a pure devotee, then she's our guru in many ways. But even if she's not a devotee, we should still respect her, but we should offer more respect to our guru. That's proper. If we don't do that, if we say, oh, she's my mother, and even though she's fallen, still I should go and eat her cooking, and she's not cooking vegetarian food, or this or that, I should do this thing. That's improper respect, because we have our relationship with our Gurudev. Is that okay? A very good point. Prabhuji?
Respect them in a certain way, but then say, for example, if you have the green break on their association, they can consider that to be very disrespectful.
Yes.
So what would one do in that type of situation?
There's a saying in Bengali, Durte ki dandavat, I offer my obeisances from a distance. Sometimes we have to do like that, as you've pointed out. We can't associate with them because they'll exploit us, they'll cause so many problems and things. So they may be angry. But what can we do in such a situation? We can only just be humble and say, anyway, I'm very sorry, but this thing is right. And we should quote Shastra to them. And if they're reasonable, if they can understand and appreciate Shastra, then they may appreciate that. And if they can't, then what can we do? But we shouldn't hate them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says if we hate them, if we criticize them, then we'll lose our humility and we'll develop pride. We should always respect them and always be willing to help them whatever way we can. The best example of this is Prahlad Maharaj. His father Hiranyakashipu was such a demon. And Prahlad, at the end, when Lord Nrisingadeva appeared before him and killed his father, and Lord Nrisingadeva asked Prahlad, what benediction do you want? Prahlad said, there's nothing that I want. Only one thing, please help my father. The same person who just tried to kill him and abuse him in so many different ways. Prahlad was really his well-wisher because he's a cultured person. Is that okay? Thank you. Who is it?
We say Panchakalpa should be always spent on this approach of all the Vaishnavas voices of the Lord. But the late desire is of course passion to all the false conditions. So we say this Panchakalpa would agree with each other. And there's a sentiment towards anti-Kodi or anti-this world. There's the impression that I have got through the years.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita and in Krishna Sanhita, he compares all the different demons in Braj Leela to different anartas in the heart. And he speaks about the forest fire. And he says that the forest fire represents this party spirit amongst the Vaishnavas, that they think that only my group is good and no other groups are good. And he says because of this, they won't be able to advance properly. So that's a difficult thing for neophytes. We see in the material world, people, they think their football team is the best. My town is the best. Yeah. So devotees should rise above that. But at the same time, neophyte devotees, it may be difficult. And therefore, I've seen in our research and sometimes meeting different Vaishnavas, every Vaishnava group that I've ever seen always tells their followers, stay within our group. And don't go outside to other groups. Everybody says like that because it's necessary. Otherwise, we can't progress properly. But at the same time, we should be very, very careful
when we deal with other Vaishnavas. This is a subject matter I'd like to speak about more at length later on. Prabhupada says many different things about how we should respect other Vaishnavas. Perhaps 10, 20 years ago, this wasn't such a big consideration, especially in the West, because basically there were no Vaishnavas except for ISKCON devotees. But today there's so many of the different Vaishnavas, and how do we deal with them? At the same time, how do we deal with the responsibility of being chaste to our guru and his mission and his service? We have to be able to accommodate both things. Some people can't accommodate both things. They can't be chaste and dedicated to their guru's service and at the same time be respectful to other Vaishnavas. In that kind of position, better they don't associate with other Vaishnavas. Better they stay away. But when we meet other Vaishnavas, we should think that Srila Prabhupada is watching and that we're representing him. We're representing the society. And it's not unchaste to be respectful and offer obeisances. Srila Prabhupada, as we told this morning, when he was walking on Chetikar Road in Vrindavan with the devotees, Prabhupada chastised them for not offering respects to the Mayavadi sannyasis who were there. And Smara Hari Prabhu made some comment to me after the class. I wish he would have spoken in the microphone. He's here now. Prabhuji was telling me, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he was there at that time. And he said that when Srila Prabhupada was walking, these Mayavadi sannyasis were coming the other direction. And when they saw Prabhupada, they folded their hands and they said, Namo Narayan, like that. And Prabhupada told them, Hare Krishna. And then they kept walking, and Prabhupada and his devotees kept walking. And then suddenly Prabhupada stopped and smacked his cane very strongly on the ground and chastised the devotees. He said, what are you doing? Why you didn't offer respects to them? And one of the devotees, one of Prabhupada's leading disciples, said, well, Prabhupada, they're Mayavadis. Prabhupada said, they're sannyasis. You should show respect. So Prabhupada wanted that. We're representing Srila Prabhupada's society. And if we go to people and we act in a very arrogant way, we're not respectful to them, it's not pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. It's not representing Prabhupada's society in a proper way. This is a very simple kind of preaching that we can do. Just being genuine, real persons and offering them respect. And that respect doesn't just mean that we're respectful to them because we want them to give a donation, or respectful to some politician because we want them to sign some paper for us. And then as soon as we get what we want from them, then we treat them like stool or something. But the respect should be genuine. It should be deep. Srila Prabhupada was like that in his dealings with Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who was a big Mayavadi. Prabhupada was very, very friendly with him and very, very affectionate with him. And he donated so much money to Srila Prabhupada for printing the Bhagavatam on that. So we should be genuine in our dealings with people. If someone offers respect to someone else and they're not genuine in that respect, what is that? That's a con man. And that type of person, that's the greatest, most offensive type of person we can meet. So Vaishnavas should be very, very deep in our behavior. We should offer respect to everyone. It should be genuine. It doesn't mean that we have to associate deeply with the politicians or with someone like Hanuman Prasad Poddar or even with Vaishnavas and other groups. But at least we can offer proper Vaishnava etiquette. So, okay, very nice point, Prabhu. We'll speak something more about this later, too. Anything else? Mataji? Speak loudly, please.
I have two questions. One is a short answer. When you said, Krishna said that I am the same as an initiated, I'm not different from someone who initiated initiation to get a second birth. Is that referring to Brahma initiation? Is that referring to first initiation?
That's referring to second initiation. He says, Diksha Kali Bhakta Kori Atma Samarpan. The words Atma Samarpan are also very significant. It's not just that someone who sat in front of a fire and someone comes and puts a string around him and whispers some mantra in their ear. But it says Atma Samarpan, who's received mantra Diksha, Diksha Kali, but also who's completely surrendered to me. But we don't know who that person is. We were describing something about that this morning, and maybe we'll speak a little more about that tomorrow, about respect to the Vaishnavas. How do we know who's really a Vaishnava? We don't. And Rupa Goswami and Rupa Desamrita, when he speaks about how we should respect them, he only gives external symptoms. Someone who's chanting Hare Krishna, someone who has second initiations worshiping the deity, someone who doesn't seem like they're criticizing anyone, that's a Kanishan Madhyaman Uttam. But you don't really know what their heart is like. So we can't speculate that thing. We should just respect anyone who's chanting Hare Krishna. Is that okay? We have to. Krishna says this in the Gita, Tesham Satati Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. If we're doing Priti Bhajan, then Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam, he'll give us intelligence. There's many subtle things. Mahabharata is full of subtle intricacies of etiquette and dharma. And many, many very difficult things to understand what is right and what's wrong. But we have to, if we're doing our bhajan with sincerity, Krishna will give us intelligence what to do and what not to do. And as Prabhuji was saying over here, we may find ourselves in a situation where it seems like we have to go against what our parents are saying. But we have an obligation, ultimately, to ourselves. Prabhupada, in one letter to Mahal Krishna Maharaj, wrote to him and asked him, what is the most important consideration, our health, or book distribution, or saving ourselves? And Prabhupada said the most important consideration is to save ourselves. So we have an obligation to ourselves ultimately. And even though our parents may be devotees, or this, that, if they're wanting us to do something which we know is wrong, then we have an obligation to ourselves and the Guru and Krishna to not do that thing. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we were just reading this earlier, he says in Chaitanya Sikshamrita that we don't follow that instruction. He says that one cannot follow incorrect orders of a superior. But one should not show hostility towards him using disrespectful or harsh words. One should put a stop to their improper behavior or instructions by using sweet words, humility, and gentle reasoning at the proper time. Is that right, Prabhuji?
So you differentiate actually between obedience and respect, which are kind
of
respectful.
Mataji? Yeah, I know some initiated devotees in ISKCON who became life members, so they would be treated better. That's a sad thing, but that's very, very unfortunate, and it's a sign that we still have some distance to go. But Prabhupada used to tell the devotees that there's these three things, thinking, feeling, and willing. It begins, we should think about it, we should discuss it, we should put these things in the ether. And we should talk about it, we should read about it. If we discuss these things, if we point out this is the way to be, and then we try to do it in our own life, we can help so much a society by just behaving properly ourselves. And this is something I want to speak about later on, is problems in society and what do you do, how do you offer respect to people who have fallen and people who are corrupt and things like that. How do we deal with that? How do we solve those problems? Because naturally, we're very attached to solving these problems. In a nutshell, the best thing that we can do is by behaving properly ourselves. If we're not behaving properly ourselves, then no one's going to listen to us and it has no meaning. So we should implement these things in our life. Even if everybody else doesn't show proper respect to the Vaishnavas, then we should do it. Why stand by and see that thing going on? And if we talk about this thing, if we speak about this subject matter, then people will think about it. It'll help. Little by little, the devotees will get something. We're doing some external devotional activities, but we haven't learned a lot of this culture. You're coming from an Indian family, and there's some culture today in India and families coming from India. But in the West, we don't know that culture, and we're naturally raised in the wrong way. But we should try to learn something about it. Prabhupada wanted all the Western devotees to go to India for at least 5 years and see something of the culture there. And the essence of this culture is respect. Is that okay? So we can do something. We've seen so many times. I remember once one devotee came to a program in Bhubaneswar, our temple, and this devotee had left and he'd gone to some other outside group. It was the first time he came back, and you could see he was very uncomfortable and nervous. And the devotees were a little angry with him, and no one was coming and speaking with him. And I'm not a manager or a leader there. But I just went up to him and I gave him a big hug and I told him, I'm so happy to see you. It's just so good you're here. And he just started glowing. He just became... So we can do that. We may be insignificant. But if we give some sweet words to someone, those sweet words go a long way. Puji? Well, first of all, devotees, we shouldn't see people as Christian or as Muslim or this or that. We should see everyone as spirit soul. It's not that spirit souls that have a Muslim designation we treat differently than we do spirit souls that have a Christian designation. If someone is eager to hear about Krishna consciousness, then we can speak to them. And if someone doesn't have faith in us and is inimical, then we don't speak to them. I used to sell books in LAX and in Los Angeles, the airport there. And many times, practically every day, you'd have some demoniac Christian coming up to you and wanting to argue with you. And you could, after some time, you could tell them even before they'd approach you. And so we developed a certain system, which we found was the quickest, easiest, nicest way to nullify the situation. They would come up and they're a little bit nervous. You're a Hare Krishna, and they're going to come up and say something to you. And they come up and they say, have you heard of Jesus? Something like that. And then we look at them and say, are you a Christian? And they always do the same thing when you do that. Like you're happy. Are you a Christian? They always step back. One or two steps. It makes them nervous. And they say, yeah. And then we say, really? That's so good. And then I would grab both their hands and say, I'm so happy to be the man of God out here. It's so nice. You know, there's so many atheists and demoniac people. And it's so good to meet a man of God. I just can't tell you how glad I am to see you. And I used to carry some prasad and flowers, so they won't take a book. I said, I just want to give you something here. Just take this, man, and all this. And every time, I know this happened just dozens of times, every time the same thing would happen, they just have a dazed look on their face. And they just kind of wander away and leave you alone. And it turned into very, and they would have, they might even have a good appreciation of you. So you nullify the situation. That person doesn't want to hear from you. You can't preach to them. They have this attitude that I'm a Christian and they want to defeat you and argue. On the other hand, if someone is coming to you and they're a genuine Christian, Jesus was a vegetarian and Jesus, you know, was very considerate of everybody, and please tell me about your faith. If someone's humble and simple, whether they're from an Islamic background or Christian background or anything, then we can speak to them if they have some faith. Is that okay? So, would you?
A couple of devotee seminars, a couple of things come up. What is that? The devotee says, last place you want to reveal your mind is confidence in your association with the body. And everybody laughed. And then she says, it's pretty sad, isn't it? It's the last place you want to reveal your mind is confidence in your association with the body. And he says that, no, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's kind of a new thought that's going to win a lot of votes, but it's kind of true, you know. People don't really care. The child doesn't care how many shlokas the mother
wants. We think sometimes, Rupa Goswami says, Gulya Makyati Prichati, that we should reveal our mind and confidence to the devotees. So we think that means we should just, you know, go up to somebody, hey Prabhu, did you hear, you know, I've got this problem, and this and this, and just start pouring out all of our darkest, deepest things. And then we become shocked and hurt, and that person goes and repeats them to other people or does something bad to us. Our acharyas have commented on that verse. Guhya makyati prichati means that these exchanges of dati prati grihati we should do with pure devotees. We should do with our guru, not just with any aspiring Vaishnava, but we should do with elevated Vaishnavas. Otherwise, we may have an unpleasant experience. And that's our fault. Because really, we're telling someone just because we want someone to listen to us, we want to enjoy some sense gratification like that. We don't like to go to a sadhu. Because as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying, he may speak very harshly to us and chastise us for that. So we'll go to some ordinary devotee, and we know he'll just listen to me and he won't chastise me. But then he's going to cause us so much trouble. That's a good point. Anything else is there? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gopremananda.